Hey, Sean.
Hey, good morning, Robert.
How you doing?
How are you today? I'm doing fine.
Not too bad.
How about yourself?
Not too bad. A little hot, but working through it.
That's right. That's right.
But
you got some exciting weeks ahead of you, I hear.
Yeah, we just got the termite report back. All good. So now we're just kind of sitting in limbo. We got all our documents over. So we're just kind of looking for the next step to do on our court, which is get insurance. So.
Yeah, well, I'm pleased to say this will be the easiest part of your process. I know you've been kind of jumping through some hoops, but we'll keep this short and sweet and simple for you.
All right,
and man,
yeah,
you were lucky to lock your rate at the time that you did. I can only imagine that Monday's news is pretty bad for the buyer that wasn't under contract already.
Yeah, we hit it like about, I think whenever we locked in, it went up on Wednesday, down on Thursday, then up on Friday again, then obviously this week. But and then we're lucking out because everyone was not putting offers in after the big increases over the last couple of weeks. So this house sat on the market. We're under the impression that homeowners moving out, they already have a house, but they've been telling us they don't. But I think they're just saying that because they just kept lowering their price. So
yeah, they got somewhere.
Well, time will tell.
they have somewhere urgent to be. Your situation is not a common one, right? So I guess you went under contract $50,000 less than asking.
I think I ended up being $100,000.
Ooh, you tell.
So it originally, so it started at 825. A comp had been sold a week earlier. It closed a comp. I mean, a more updated comp, but exact mirror of the house and lot had sold for over 900. A week later, they put this house on the market. A week after that one closed for 825. Then they lowered it to 800. And they lowered it to 750, and then we got it at 725. And then within
wow.
the last month, there had been something sold for 775 that was in worse condition, and then another 825. So
this
really,
was
really interesting. Yeah,
this was bound to happen. I mean, the silliness that we saw last year where people were bidding $100,000 over asking is just grossly overvalued.
It'll be interesting because like compared to this year's supply to last, there's like nothing available still. So like I think in May, I want to say. No. Yeah, May was like 75 homes went on the market last May, and there was only about 50 this May, and even less closed. So it'll be interesting how the supply works moving forward because that's kind of the biggest factor I see. If people aren't putting up their homes, the prices probably aren't going to go down because there wasn't many – I guess I want to say updated or nice homes on the market. So I could see some of the nicer homes just going up in price because it's so hard to renovate right now.
Well, yeah, I think the folks that are dead set on moving, maybe they're retiring, going to Florida, like they still have a house to move, right? So, and that's when real estate is a real illiquid asset because it's worth whatever somebody's willing to pay you. And if you,
yeah. The day
you want to retire and move.
The day it's worth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, good on you. What did you learn about the property? It seems pretty well renovated, but what kind of bones does it have structurally as far as the roof and HVAC and electrical plumbing?
So I think we think it was renovated sometime between 2008 and 2012. Everything was updated. Our inspection came back as furnace is really the only thing HVAC-wise that has the potential to go in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The windows, we're replacing all the windows, or we're going to do that in the next probably 4 or 5 months. And then the roof just had two pieces of damaged shingles. It looks like a tree branch fell on it, but the roof was in good enough shape. Probably 10 years would be when we replace it, 5 to 10 years, depending. What else? The only thing about HVAC is we're going to put a clean through the whole house, clean the HVAC, pay someone to professionally clean it out just because they had a cat living there.
Do a little duct cleaning. Man, you'd be surprised what comes out of that duct when they, you know, put their vacuums through it. It's real nasty.
Yeah. And then I actually work for a general contractor, and then my fiance is an architect, and her dad's a licensed civil engineer. So a lot of the stuff will probably, I don't know, like simple as cleaning out the dryer vent. He's got all the tools to do that, so we don't got to pay someone $500 to run the hose through the house, that kind of techy stuff. So all the cosmetic stuff will be updating. And then the windows will be the big thing we probably do this fall.
What kind of contracting work do you do? Is it just general carpentry?
It's big commercial. So Balfour Beatty. It's like a big general contractor, similar to like Clark Whiting Turner. So like, I just, you know the wharf development in D.C.?
The wharf in D.C.?
Yeah, like the big on the water south of the mall.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so wharf phase two, I just finished working over there, and now I'm working at Andrews Air Force Base. So I did two office buildings over there in the last like 3 years. But
that's exciting. What are they renovating at the Air Force Base?
Like a little data center. So
gotta love the data centers.
Yeah. All kinds of commercial construction, but yeah.
That's really cool. And I'm sure that's different in many ways than residential construction. Whole new skill set you gotta learn.
Yep. Yeah.
So you're closing on the 6th, right?
Yeah, so we're closing on the 6th. So that's when we'd start, I guess, our homeowner's insurance. But they have a rent back until August 15th.
Of course they do.
They'll move on the 15th. But so we'd need, I guess, but we need the homeowner's insurance for that time. And then I guess what I'm thought is currently we have car insurance in D.C., and they aren't insured in Virginia, so we'll definitely need car insurance, a bundle.
Right.
If that makes sense, I guess. Typically it makes more sense to bundle them.
It does, and I'm sure you'll like that because you'll have a garage instead of, you know, street parking.
Yes. Well, we're in a garage now.
Our own garage. Yeah, I could not imagine doing street parking.
Yeah, we tried to limit it. But yeah, we originally had two cars. We only have one car between the two of us now. So
let's see if I would be able to find that. Is that a Subaru Crosstour?
Yep, Crosstrek, yeah.
Crosstrek, okay.
Yep.
And so who would be the primary driver of that car?
So it would be me driving to, I guess, Andrews Air Force Base. I don't know how in-depth you get with miles for a commute or whatever, but
I guess your commute would always change. Have they ever talked about a company vehicle for you? It sounds like you probably commute often enough.
It's in the options, but I take the auto allowance. So.
Oh, you get paid some mileage reimbursement?
Yeah.
That can be pretty significant, like 58 cents a mile.
Yeah, but it's like an allotment per year, so. But yeah, like just a value. You either take the car or you get a couple $1,000 a month.
I got you.
Per mile or anything, so.
Now, are you and Megan engaged to be married or just cohabitating together?
We're engaged currently, and our wedding date's October 22nd. So we're getting married this fall.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, we've been on the same insurance, I don't know, last three, four years or something. We've been living together for probably 3-4 years now. So
both you and her both have D.C. licenses?
Yes, we're both D.C. licenses.
Okay, awesome.
We did live in Virginia, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, I think. D.C. right now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Springfield area. I grew up in Burke, so it's just right, just the town over. So it's a good location.
Yeah, we're excited.
Can I have you read to me both of your DC licenses?
Oh, the numbers?
Yes.
So my license is 455-7297.
I think that's typically collected with your loan documents, right?
Yeah, I'm pulling up our little Google Doc now.
Yeah, yeah. Ask for so many things. I always create a folder for it.
Yep.
So what's it been like working with Atlantic Coast Mortgage?
It's been good. He's been extremely responsive with Chris Miller. And then Heather's been very, very nice to deal with recently because we didn't really deal with her much in the beginning. But
I think she was just coming off maternity leave. And
okay.
My wife is just about to go on maternity leave. We have a baby that's due any day now. We're 42 weeks pregnant, so.
Awesome.
Could be today, could be tomorrow. It's very exciting, but it's also like,
yeah.
I kind of like, I like to plan things. So if it happens like in the middle of the day, I'm like, oh, I still got stuff to do. So if it happens on the weekend.
That'd be nice. Yeah. And then are you taking some time off afterwards?
I'll probably take 2 days, but otherwise, I lead a decent sized team. And so, like, I gotta just level up and be the leader and the dad and the husband and everybody.
Yep. Gotcha. Yeah. Are you work from home? Make it a little easier, but
it does. Yeah. We're looking for larger space, which I think this, housing correction is not necessarily a bad thing unless we want to custom build. The only downside could be that if a builder can't get raw materials, then...
Yeah, lumber's going down.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. All right, I got her license up. So her license number is 455-7288. I didn't realize how similar the numbers are. We got them on the same day. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, they're shorter in DC. I like that they're only like 7 digits.
Yeah.
Your guy's record looks very good.
I was going to say, I don't think much of anything.
There may have been some kind of water claim back in 2019 from the sellers. Did they disclose anything to you?
They did not. And that's the house? They did not disclose anything.
Pretty sure. Now it says it's listed as accidental discharge or leakage, so whether that came from plumbing or something like a dishwasher, I'm not sure.
Okay. And you can't see anything, so I'd have to ask her.
Yeah, she could probably ask about that just to see what it was.
Okay. All right. No, I just wondered if you could. You can't see anything, I'm guessing. Okay.
No, I can't. But it's good to know about that sort of stuff because if you discover mold later on, like mold is one of the exclusions that insurance does not cover. But what it does cover is damage from major catastrophes and storms.
Water damage, not mold.
Yeah, you will. We're going to make sure that you have coverage for water damage because that is a very common event, especially in houses that have older plumbing.
Yeah, yeah, we're excited to see what exactly is old and new when we start. Our plan is to update some bathrooms, actually probably all the bathrooms eventually, but so
yeah,
start opening up the walls.
As long as you have somebody in there, if you have the opportunity to redo some plumbing, I would do it just because, cosmetically everything can look nice, but if the plumbing is due for some replacement, it's worth doing that. It's worth updating electrical circuits. Real cheap to do that type of stuff.
Yep. Yeah, that was the one thing. The electrical was all really good, except like one GFCI outlet was on the same circuit as another GFCI, so pretty simple.
Good.
The whole house. I was a little surprised, to be honest, but.
So did you do the inspection?
Yeah, so we just had an inspection done. That's where
good
I got all that information about the roof and whatnot.
Good. You know, a lot of people that were in such a rush to buy a house that waive inspections, they all pretty much had claims that they were submitting because they walked into a house with unknown issues. So in my opinion, not really worth saving the $600 for the inspection. But yeah, we saw that happen a lot in 2020, a lot in 2021.
I can't imagine, but I guess it just wouldn't be a situation I would have ever got into. Yeah, I was never going to go down that road.
So I can start with the vehicles first, or the vehicle first.
Yep.
That one would be very easy to insure. We are big proponents of high limits of liability. We've had many situations where people have been involved in accidents, and you'd be surprised how often people will come back after, you know, a fender bender and claim neck and back injuries. So all of our clients get the highest limits of liability coverage. You and Megan would have $500,000 available to pay for bodily injury expenses towards another person. And then you also have the same limits of coverage for yourself if you are involved in an accident with somebody who may be uninsured or not have adequate insurance to pay for your injuries. And then if you've got passengers in your vehicle, you guys have access to $5,000 in medical expenses for yourselves and anyone riding with you, regardless of who was at fault in an accident, and that is without any deductible. It's just immediate coverage that you can use for an ambulance ride to the hospital or some x-rays to treat minor injuries. Now, as far as the Subaru, that vehicle would have full physical damage coverage. You'd have coverage for comprehensive claims. That's the vandalism, the damage from fire or flood or hailstorm, or somebody steals your vehicle. Those are all comprehensive claims. And then you'd also have collision coverage as well. So that's if your car collides with another vehicle or an object on the road. You also have a $0 glass deductible. So if you have any windshield glass issues, first we'll try to fix it. We partner with SafeLight, so they'll seal most cracks for free. But if it needs replacement, it's provided to you at no cost. Rental cars provided to you at no cost, and then you have unlimited access towards roadside service. And every year that you don't have a claim or an accident, your deductibles go down by $100. So they'd be $500 this year. Next year, they'd be $400. The year after that, they'd be $300, then $200, and then eventually down to zero. And then also, you qualified for what's called a rate lock. So this is good. This will keep your pricing on the vehicle the same for the next 3 years. So we are likely to see a lot of rate increases because of inflation. So if you have rate lock, you are guaranteed the same pricing until summer of 2025. And so for both you and Megan, for the one car, we would only charge you $649 for the entire year. That's the pay-in-full rate. So that includes 7%. And most of our clients will choose to do that as opposed to a monthly payment plan.
Okay.
What are your thoughts so far?
I think it sounds good. I guess I'll look at the specifics or match it up with some other of the big major change, but I think that sounds good so far about what we're looking at everywhere else.
Good,
so
good.
I guess for the coverage, but.
Yeah, the rate lock, the diminishing deductible, the $0 glass, they're all kind of proprietary. So whatever you have already paid into your policy that's in DC, we would help you terminate that insurance on the day that ours would start. And so if you've already paid towards the end of your term, we would negotiate a prorated refund due back to you. Now, the home insurance is simple. That will be just one of the line items that they collect at settlement. You've got your closing costs. We'll bill the home insurance into that. So title company will pay for that with the closing costs that you use. And then otherwise, that'll just be a annual expense paid by your lender. So I believe Atlantic Coast Mortgage, they don't sell their loans, if I'm not mistaken. I think they service them. But essentially, the homeowner's insurance is coverage enough to rebuild the building at today's market value. We've assessed it around $465, not including the land value, just the reconstruction costs. But that's going to change from year to year with things like inflation and, you know, lumber shortages. But it won't really matter because you've got 100% guaranteed replacement cost on the house. So if we get another period of crazy inflation and we're insuring the house for $465 and it's going to cost $600,000 to rebuild, your policy will still cover it. You have essentially unlimited coverage. And so the mortgage lender loves that too, because we send them a policy with 100% guaranteed replacement costs. They know exactly what that means. It automatically gets approved by their underwriting.
Okay.
And then you have coverage for essentially everything except for all the industry-wide exclusions. And the bulk of that is just going to be like flood, earthquake, acts of war, terrorism. But yeah, your policy will cover the natural disasters and the major catastrophes like hurricane, wind damage, hailstorms, fire, smoke damage, burglary, vandalism, damage caused by bursted or frozen pipes. And then specifically, I'm adding in coverage for water and sewage backup. That happens so often that, you know, you need to have it for any plumbing issues or toilet backups. There's also coverage for plumbing underground. So if there are tree roots growing underneath your yard, that can oftentimes lead to disruptions in the service lines below the house. So if you have gas or electrical or cable or any other service lines below the house that have an interruption, this would pay for the excavation and repair or replacement of those service lines up to $25,000. And we would just bill the mortgage company just a total of $932 for the entire year. What that breaks down to in your monthly mortgage payment is about $77. So that'll reflect in your payment with the property tax and the principal and interest.
Okay.
And then my last suggestion, I mentioned earlier in our conversation, we're big proponents of liability coverage. People sue all the time. There's a lot of attorneys in Northern Virginia. So $1 million umbrella policy, we'd always recommend as additional liability protection. Your auto insurance and your home insurance, they only cover up to $500,000, which sounds like a lot of money, but it's really not anymore. So if, let's say that there is an accident, or let's say that somebody is injured on your property limits and they sue you, the owner, or they sue you as the driver of the vehicle, they can sue you for anything that they want. It doesn't have to be the actual damages. They can sue you for pain and suffering, emotional distress, lost wages, whatever a personal injury attorney would fight for. So $95 for an umbrella policy, it pays $1 million beyond the $500,000 we mentioned earlier. And that will cover your legal defense, plus whatever a jury could potentially award a plaintiff that sues you.
And how much was that last one per month or year?
That's just a one-time annual $95. For $1 million in liability protection. It's probably the sort of thing that you might increase over time. So if you become a property owner of some additional residences or acquire additional assets, the $1 million umbrella policy should be commensurate with your own personal net worth.
Okay. You probably won't do that just because if someone sued me, my net worth isn't $1 million. So, but we do have, I don't know, currently ring insurance for Megan, my fiance, but we'd probably want that covered.
What's the value of the rank?
I think it's appraised for around 30K, appraisal value.
Okay. You can get me an appraisal or a bill of sale for the piece?
Would a bill of, if we give you a bill of sale significantly lower, does that, I guess, how does the coverage work? Our old coverage, you had to have the appraisal value, not the bill of sale. If I can use the bill of sale, that's significantly less, I guess. So that's what I'm wondering.
We will accept either. If you have,
okay.
If you have an appraisal, that would be better. But a lot of our jewelry owners, they will have items reappraised every so often, you know, maybe once every 10 years.
Okay.
But, yeah, we only charge a couple bucks per $1,000 of each piece. So if it's just
okay,
the engagement
so it's ring, really just paying per dollar. So, it's, and that's what you'd get on the replacement of it?
Yes.
I guess
when you schedule,
would be just the cost of what I submitted.
Exactly. It's the amount listed on the document. So if ironic enough, previous homeowner of this house also had some kind of jewelry claim. Unrelated to the water, but apparently they lost some jewelry. So yeah, we would just accept a bill of sale or an appraisal, and you can email that to me. The only thing that I would need from you at this point, I've got everything that I need for the homeowner's insurance, the policy number that you got in DC for the Subaru, and then just whatever you and Megan would designate as your primary bank account to pay for the auto insurance, just the routing an account number to a checking or savings account.
Okay. And then are you going to, I took some notes, but are you going to send over these breakdowns or at least the quotes?
Yeah, I can. I can narrate
awesome.
A little recap, and our emails include a bullet point summary plus the PDF documents. So you can
awesome.
Go through it on your own time. But
awesome.
I will ask you to reconsider the umbrella insurance, because I personally have had some clients that have been sued for $600,000 or more. And it's not what you own, it's what somebody could potentially get from you. So if you don't have cash available to pay for a settlement, what often happens is your wages are garnished. And so if you got about 35 years left of income earning power, that would suck to have, you know, the first 25% of your income designated to some auto victim that
okay.
you happen to get in an accident with. So whether you have
That's
a financial
okay.
planner, a financial advisor, an attorney, a CPA, they're all familiar with umbrella insurance. They're real big proponents of it. It's how the wealthy safeguard their interest.
All right. I'll take a second look at it.
All right. Have I answered all of your questions today, RJ?
I think so.
All right. Fantastic. Well, congrats on the house. You got a sweet deal on it.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll help you insure it, and I'll send you a follow-up email. Just need to collect a few items from you, and then I can get the gang at Atlantic Coast all the documents that they need, and we'll certainly help you out transitioning from D.C. to Virginia and terminating the old insurance and potentially getting back a refund if you've already paid some premium.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're coming up on paying our next 6 months, so we'll have to figure that out with them if we just want to pay 6 months, and then whenever date – I mean, our goal is to switch over our licenses the day we can, because it's more expensive insurance in D.C. So
– yeah. It'll all work out. It'll be prorated based on the last
so
day of coverage
off
you have in
like,
DC.
Would we still get that like kind of bundle discount, home and auto, even though we are like a couple of weeks away from getting in our new, I guess, what do you call it, our new car registration and IDs for Virginia?
Yeah, my suggestion would be that we just have all your insurance begin on the day of settlement. That way it's an easy anniversary date for you to remember. All your policy dates are synced up.
I see. And then once we get it, you would credit back and the other company would credit back.
Yeah. Well, your start date would be the close date. So July 6th. And then we would ensure that your DC coverage is terminated on the 6th of July. And so whatever you paid up until that point would be refunded back to you prorated.
But it doesn't even matter if I'm not even, like, I'm not living in Virginia yet, I guess, right, because the rent back. And I don't have a Virginia ID. Does that matter?
Doesn't matter that you don't have a Virginia ID. I think once you move to a new territory, based on the locality, it's either 30 or 60 days that you have to get new identification and registration complete. So I don't think that you have to still schedule appointments with the DMV like you used to during 2020. I think you should be able to just walk in at this point, but check the DMVs around you in Springfield. I know there's one off of Franconia. And so maybe as soon as you close in the house, you just schedule something for that week to get your vehicles registered in Virginia.
Okay. Yeah, I'll dive into that more in depth. I guess that makes sense. Yeah, like I know I remember moving down to Virginia from New York like 5-6 years ago. There was about 60 to 90 days to switch over. So I guess that makes sense. So,
yeah, and it's usually people get confused on that. You need the insurance documents prior to the DMV appointment, not vice versa. So you can't go and register a car in that new state without having the insurance documents at the appointment. So just let us know what date you're planning to go, and we'll just have everything start unilaterally on the home closing date.
Okay. All righty. That makes sense. All right. Thanks, Sean. It's helpful.
Yeah. Was this a good conversation? Did this add value, teach you something new?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Well, I will I'll send some information to you shortly. It was nice chatting with you, RJ, and I look forward to working with you.
Sounds good, Sean. Thank you.
My pleasure. Take care.
Yeah.